Hello, and welcome back to your OCR GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you pressed play today because the topic we're covering, resultant forces, is one of those absolute goldmine topics in the exam. It comes up every single year, it links to almost everything else in the forces unit, and once you truly understand it, questions that used to feel confusing will start to feel almost straightforward. So whether you're working through topic 2.3 for the first time or you're doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts clearly, walk through the math step by step, tackle the most common mistakes candidates make, run a quick fire quiz to test your recall, and finish with a crisp summary you can carry into the exam hall. Grab a pen and paper if you can. There are a few moments where sketching something out will really help it stick. Ready? Let's go. Let's start right at the beginning. What actually is a resultant force? A resultant force is the single force that has the same effect as all the individual forces acting on an object combined. Think of it as the net force, the overall push or pull once everything is taken into account. Now, before we go further, we need to talk about something that trips up a lot of candidates, the difference between scalar and vector quantities. A scalar quantity has only magnitude, a size, a number. Speed is a scalar. Temperature is a scalar. But a vector quantity has both magnitude and direction. Force is a vector. Velocity is a vector. This matters enormously for resultant forces, because when you add forces together, you cannot just add the numbers. You must account for direction. Here's a simple example. Imagine you're pushing a box to the right with a force of 300 newtons. Your friend is pushing it to the left with a force of 100 newtons. What's the resultant force? It is not 400 newtons. That would be adding them as if they were in the same direction. The correct answer is 300 minus 100, which equals 200 newtons, acting to the right. The key rule, forces in opposite directions are subtracted. Forces in the same direction are added. Now let's talk about free body diagrams, because OCR absolutely loves them. A free body diagram shows all the forces acting on a single object as arrows. The length of each arrow represents the magnitude of the force. A longer arrow means a bigger force. The direction of the arrow shows the direction of the force. And here is a critical point that earns marks. Every arrow must have an arrowhead. Without the arrowhead, you have not defined the direction, and the examiner cannot award the mark for showing a vector. Do not forget your arrowheads. When drawing free body diagrams, think about all four possible directions. Upward forces like normal reaction and lift, downward forces like weight, and horizontal forces like applied force and friction. For a stationary book on a table, weight acts downward and normal reaction acts upward, and they are equal in size. The resultant force is zero. The book doesn't move. Perfect equilibrium. This brings us to one of the most important ideas in this whole topic, and I want you to really absorb this. A zero resultant force does not mean the object is stationary. It means the object is either stationary or moving at a constant velocity in a straight line. This is Newton's first law. An object will remain at rest or continue moving at a constant velocity unless acted upon by a resultant force. So if an exam question tells you a car is traveling at a steady 30 meters per second on a motorway and asks you to state the resultant force, the answer is 0 newtons. Not there is no force, 0 newtons be precise. Now let's move to higher tier content, and if you're sitting foundation, don't skip this because understanding the concept will still help you. At higher tier, you may be asked to find the resultant of two forces that act at right angles to each other, that is, perpendicular forces. For this, we use Pythagoras' theorem. Let's say a boat is being pushed eastward by a current with a force of 6 newtons, and the wind is pushing it northward with a force of 8 newtons. What is the resultant force? Because these two forces are perpendicular, we can draw them as the two shorter sides of a right-angled triangle. The resultant is the hypotenuse. Using Pythagoras, the resultant equals the square root of 6 squared plus 8 squared. That's the square root of 36 plus 64, which is the square root of 100, which is 10 newtons. Beautiful. But that's only half the answer. OCR will also want the direction. For this, we use trigonometry, specifically SOHCAHTOA. We want the angle theta, which is the angle between the resultant and the eastward force. Tangent of theta equals the opposite side divided by the adjacent side, which is 8 divided by 6, which is 1.333. Taking the inverse tangent gives us approximately 53.1 degrees. So the full answer is, the resultant force is 10 newtons acting at 53.1 degrees north of east. always give both magnitude and direction for a vector answer. There is also the scale drawing method for finding resultants, which is valid for both tiers. You draw the force vectors to scale, tip to tail, and then measure the resultant. If the question says determine the resultant force, a scale drawing is often expected. You must state your scale clearly. For example, 1 centimeter represents 2 newtons. And you must draw accurately with angles correct to within plus or minus 2 degrees. Measure your resultant arrow and convert back using your scale. Let's finish the core concepts by connecting resultant force to acceleration. Newton's second law tells us that force equals mass times acceleration, F equals M times A. A non-zero resultant force causes acceleration. The bigger the resultant force, the greater the acceleration. The bigger the mass, the smaller the acceleration for the same force. This is the direct link between resultant forces and motion that examiners love to test. The classic exam scenario is the skydiver. When they first jump, weight is much larger than air resistance, large resultant force downward, so they accelerate rapidly. As they speed up, air resistance increases. The resultant force decreases, they still accelerate, but more slowly. Eventually, air resistance equals weight, resultant force is zero. They reach terminal velocity, constant speed, no acceleration. When the parachute opens, air resistance suddenly surges past weight. Resultant force is now upward, so they decelerate until a new, lower terminal velocity is reached. Right, let's talk exam strategy. I'm going to give you the 5 most important tips for this topic. Tip 1. Always state the direction of your resultant force. The resultant force is 200 newtons is incomplete. The resultant force is 200 newtons acting to the right earns the mark. Direction is part of the answer for any vector quantity. Tip 2. Never forget arrowheads on force diagrams. This is one of the most common ways candidates lose marks. The arrowhead defines the direction of the vector. No arrowhead, no direction, no mark. Tip 3. When a question describes an object moving at constant speed, immediately write resultant force equals 0 newtons. Do not say the forces are balanced without also stating the resultant is 0. Be explicit. Tip 4. For higher tier Pythagoras questions, always find both the magnitude and the direction. The magnitude alone is worth 1 mark. The direction, the angle, is worth a separate mark. Candidates who only calculate the magnitude lose a mark every time. Tip 5. Do not confuse Newton's third law pairs with balanced forces. Newton's third law says that if object A exerts a force on object B, then object B exerts an equal and opposite force on object A. These forces act on different objects. Balanced forces act on the same object. They are completely different concepts. One more thing on command words. If the question says calculate, show every step of your working, write the formula, substitute the values, and give the answer with units. If it says determine, a scale drawing or measurement may be required. If it says explain, you must use the word because, link cause to effect. The object accelerates because the resultant force is non-zero is the kind of sentence that earns marks. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the resultant force on an object moving at constant velocity? Answer, 0 newtons. Question 2. A force of 500 newtons acts downward and 300 newtons acts upward. What is the resultant force and in which direction? Answer, 200 newtons downward. Question 3. 2 perpendicular forces of 3 newtons and 4 newtons act on an object. What is the magnitude of the resultant? Answer, 5 newtons. 3, 4, 5, Pythagorean triple. Question 4. What must you always include on a force arrow to show it is a vector? Answer, an arrowhead showing direction. Question 5. At terminal velocity, how does air resistance compare to weight? Answer, air resistance equals weight. They are equal in magnitude, so the resultant force is 0. Well done if you got all 5. Let's wrap up with the key points to carry into your exam. 1. Resultant force is the single force equivalent to all forces combined, accounting for direction. 2. Forces in opposite directions are subtracted. Forces in the same direction are added. 3. Zero resultant force means constant velocity or stationary, not necessarily stopped. 4. Free body diagrams must have labeled arrows with arrowheads, drawn to scale if required. 5. For higher tier, use Pythagoras for magnitude and SOHCAHTOA for direction when forces are perpendicular. 6. A non-zero resultant force causes acceleration, linking directly to Newton's second law. You've got this. Resultant forces is a topic where careful, methodical working and attention to direction will earn you every mark available. Keep practicing those free body diagrams, keep checking for arrowheads, and always state your direction. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. I know you're going to do brilliantly. See you in the next episode.